Welcome back to the Book of Proverbs as we explore God's wisdom in Chapter 2. Peyton Jones and Chris Langham with you again with one of the critical passages in my own faith walk, going back more than 20 years to my first year of pursuing God. I was in my early 20s, and this chapter spoke so clearly and profoundly to my young and searching soul, it has impacted my approach to the Bible ever since. It's also one of my all-time favorite chapters to walk through with youth. What's so special about it? Let's find out together. Peyton, take us in.
Chapter 2 picks up again the words of Solomon to his son. And verse 1 reads, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight, and cry aloud for understanding. And if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God."
So the chapter opens with a call again to accept words of wisdom and store up his wise commands. Yet there is more to finding wisdom than just listening. Watch the progression of intensity. In verse 2, turning your ear and applying your heart. These are not passive. They require something of you. Move, respond, get your heart involved. Care about this. Then verse 3 steps it up. Call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. There's a desperation in these words, a longing to make sense of the world. And this is where my story connects. At 20 years old, I had dedicated much of my young life to understanding how the world works. Physics, chemistry, and other sciences explained so many wonders around me. But when it came to the things of God, I claimed ignorance. I would say that no one can prove God, so I disregarded faith as unscientific. Yet at the same time, so many parts of my life were a mystery. It was like my life was a bunch of puzzle boxes, and every time I tried to put one together, it was just missing pieces. But at some point, I finally got honest with myself. How can I claim that God is unprovable if I haven't even tried? So I picked up a Bible with no real intention of believing it. I just thought I should give it a fair chance. And this passage, this one got me. Turn your ear, apply your heart, cry aloud. So I did. I began asking questions to a God I didn't even yet believe in. Started writing them down even, and searching for answers. And wouldn't you know, the one place I found so many answers was the Bible.
Then verse 4 steps it up yet again. "And if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure." Okay, now it's getting good. This is a call to adventure, to a quest. This is a hobbit in search of a dragon. It's Indiana Jones deciphering clues on an amulet or Nicolas Cage following a map on the back of the Declaration of Independence. This is a few kids from the Goondocks on a quest to find One-Eyed Willie's treasure. Only this treasure has no gold doubloons. This treasure is wisdom. And at that, I stop and ask myself, do I search for it? Do I value wisdom and understanding enough to really seek it out? Do I follow clues and uncover truths to make sense of this life?
And notice the if in verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4. If you ask, if you search. Solomon's leading up to something here, a reward for the seeking. But have you ever noticed in those classic movies that when they find the treasure, they discover that the real treasure is something else entirely, something they found along the way, usually in the relationships formed with those on the adventure with them. So what about here? Read carefully. If you search, then, in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What is the real treasure? What is the reward for all that seeking? God never promises to answer every question or explain every mystery. But you will understand the fear of the Lord. Now there's a treasure unexpected, the fear of the Lord. Remember where we heard that before, in chapter 1? It's the beginning. It's like you're playing a Zelda game and you happen upon a cave with the rarest of all treasures, like the Sword of Link. For me, The fear of the Lord is that awestruck respect for God that sets my creator in his rightful place and takes me off the throne. That is the perspective that puts every mystery into a different light. Sometimes it gives me the answers I wanted, and other times it just reminds me I don't need all the answers.
And there is another reward. Back in verse 5, you will find the knowledge of God. This is it. This is the treasure, to know your creator. And watch the wording. Not the knowledge about God, the knowledge of God. This is personal, relational. The truest treasures in every quest are the relationships formed on the journey. And the quest for wisdom is a journey with God. And the quest for wisdom is a journey with God.
And in verse 6, you begin to understand some of the extra benefits of knowing the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So knowing God is treasure enough in itself. But then you realize, I just made friends with the source. Like discovering your new best friend gets you backstage passes to like everything. All the wisdom, all the understanding.
And verse 7 has more. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Now, those are some serious perks. Success, protection, and notice that he guards the path and the way for the just and faithful. And look at verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Have you ever struggled over what path to take? A fork in life's road? Or a decision over matters of fairness and equity? And you desperately want to know which way is right? What is just and fair? Here the grand reward for seeking God's wisdom is to know every good path. Pay attention to that word. Path is at the heart of this whole chapter.
And verse 10 is one close to my own heart. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. I remember reading that as a young believer, and it was the perfect description. Yes, that is what happened to me. It is the most apt description of my own experience. I sought wisdom, but found God. And when I knew God, I didn't just know wisdom, it entered my heart, my internal guide, my inner voice. And the more I sought, the more I found it directing me. And knowledge became pleasant to my soul. What a beautiful feeling that is, when truth just feels right inside, and the right and the just just sits down comfortably in your heart.
The second half of the chapter is all about wisdom and discretion protecting you and guarding your path. Look at verse 11. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. And here we see that wisdom is a defense. It protects you from your own foolish decisions. You don't have to fall into that old pit or give into that old temptation again and again. The real key to it is not just seeing the temptation, it's seeing the path. Because that temptation isn't just a decision. It is a fork in the road. And it leads down a long road. 6 times in this chapter, Solomon describes paths, and 6 more times, he lists our ways.
3 sections follow here. In verses 12 to 15, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. They've left the straight paths. Their ways are dark, and their paths are crooked. Yet wisdom sees through that darkness and discerns the end of those paths.
Then, in verses 16 to 19, wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman. Sexual temptation is a threat like no other, and adultery is a pathway to sure destruction. Solomon describes wicked men and the adulterous woman, but the labels are readily switched. Now, whether your temptation is male or female, whether person or pornography, the danger and destruction are the same. And once again, the path is key. In verse 18, surely her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead.
Yet wisdom offers another path. Verse 20 invites us to walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. And that path of life leads to a land, like the Emerald City. Follow the yellow brick road. Yet this is no emerald illusion. The land at the end of this path is a good land to live in and remain in, a homeland. And there's no place like home. And as elusive as that promise is for so many peoples, it is the destiny that God promises for those who seek wisdom and find him, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and pursue justice, those who follow his path to the end will find a homeland. Read Proverbs 2, follow the treasure map, and we'll meet you back here next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.